For all of that spent nuclear fuel to get to Yucca Mountain, it has to travel on trains or on trucks. Jack Edlow has years of experience transporting nuclear waste. He's president of Edlow International. Every year, his company moves waste from research reactors all over the world back to the U.S. It begins, he says, with the right packaging.
These are very large lead and steel packages called spent fuel shipping casks. They weigh in the neighborhood of anywhere from 8 to 20 tons.
They would be the size of a car, size of a truck?
Size of a car. That's the size of a car.
So the fuel is sealed inside the casks, right?
Right.
And then what?
Well, then the casks are transported using vehicles, special vehicles, either road or rail, down to an ocean port where they are loaded on ships.
Are the casks put into containers?
Yes, in the standard ISO containers. They're tied down for handling. And then these are shipped to U.S. East Coast port. And then we take them by rail to U.S. DOE, Department of Energy's Savannah River plant, which is the plant at which this fuel arrives in the United States.
Everybody along the line knows what they're handling?
Absolutely, and it's all pre-planned. We work with local law enforcement. We work with first responders, the carriers, the labor. Everybody knows what we're doing. We're very open.
I noticed that during the Olympics in Salt Lake City, there's a request that's being honored not to have hazardous material come through
the city there. And at the time of the Atlanta Olympics, all the shipments down in that region were shut down as well.
What would be the danger, though? What could happen if somebody were up to no good? Could somebody crash a plane into a container that contains spent nuclear fuel? And if so, what would happen?
I'm not sure anything would happen. Certainly, people can crash planes or other things into trucks or in containers, and accidents can happen. Accidents have happened involving vehicles that contained spent fuel shipments, but there's never been a leakage of material out of these casks because the casks are extremely robust. There have been tests performed in which locomotives traveling in excess of 80 miles an hour have hit casks, and the locomotives have been destroyed, but the casks haven't been damaged. So I think even an aircraft incident would be negligible to the casks.
What about an explosion, though?
There have been studies done with shaped charges, which have been able to actually crack a cask, although they have not dispersed substantial amounts of fuel out of the cask. So yes, you can damage casks, but the ability to actually make material airborne is a different story. This is, after all, metal inside a cask, so it's hard to vaporize metal at that point.
Any difference in the way your company's operating after September?
Sure. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has changed certain requirements on us. But you have to understand, we anticipated terrorist incidents many, many, many years ago. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission increased its security after the time of the initial aircraft hijackings because radioactive materials were routinely shipped on passenger aircraft back in the 70s. And after the hijackings became a problem, things were changed.
In your business, shipping the spent nuclear fuel, what's the one thing you do worry about? What's your nightmare?
You always worry about accidents, and you always worry about having to deal with cleaning up materials. Over the years, since we make thousands of shipments a year, we have had accidents. But we have a system in place where we have contacts of cleanup organizations around the United States so that if we run into a problem, we can deal with it immediately. So I worry about accidents, but you have to deal with this.
Mr. Edlow, thank you for talking with us.
You're quite welcome.
Jack Edlow, president of Edlow International.